Conference is being recorded.
There we go.
It just seems in my mind like it takes longer each time. Is that it? Because it always seems...
Okay, well, for the record, we have all four of our abnormally distributed folks here.
Right. So maybe next time we could start timing it and actually do an experiment on the
ReadyTalk
system.
We could.
See
how long it
Do we know if Bob is going to participate today?
They are not. I actually spoke with them earlier today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They are not participating.
Well, they'll have the recording if they want it.
Yeah, I actually asked them in speaking with them. So last time I volunteered to speak with them about the authorship question.
Yeah.
So I spoke with them about that. You know, and one of the questions I asked them was, you know, are you guys, you know, I noticed you guys aren't really as involved. Is there an issue or is it, you know, and they basically said it's by design. You know, they're kind of moving more to the background and letting us take control, et cetera, which kind of makes sense if they're supposed
right.
to foster new researchers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that it's intentional.
It's nothing personal, I hear.
Well,
and in fact, I don't think right in that what we're doing right now, I think that we really just need to be the four of us and hammer this together a little bit.
I agree. I will add that Bob said next week, I think, is his spring break, and he says if we want to get him a draft of whatever we have at whatever stage it's at, he's happy to take a look at it.
Well, that's definitely something to take advantage of when you get somebody who's willing to take a look. We should not pass that, I think.
Well, we've got a draft in hand, I think, sending that out. A lot of material here already. I suppose what we should do today is maybe take a look at that draft to see if there are areas that we want to do some revisions or do more development, or just in general, what direction we want to go with the paper.
Well, and I'll tell you, one other thing that I had, as I was trying to look through it and rewrite different sections, is trying to look at it from the point of view of a reviewer. I'm thinking, okay, what's really new here? What's the main point that these people are trying to get across? And I think we still need to work on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to at least give a hint of towards the long run how we're planning on bringing together all of these prerequisites with the actual sampling distribution question. And it was starting to, I think Michael had brought something about this there another call ago, saying, you know, how are we going to try to correlate responses? And I feel like before I put together the final version, I'd like to have some feel for how we're going to do that so we can give a hint of what's to come next, rather than just say we've researched these areas, we've come up with these questions, and we're going to look and see if they really are prerequisites. I think we should have some sort of at least anecdotal initial analysis. What do you guys think? Is that too far?
So I thought that the first step that we're working towards is I thought we decided it was going to be a little less framed on here's what we're going to do next and more framed on talking about sampling distributions, talk about the prerequisites, and then using our assessment items as just an example of how that assessment is done.
I think that is what we decided. And I just felt, and maybe it's just because I'm getting excessively familiar with it all, that it doesn't seem, how can I say, fresh or new to me now, which that could very well be the problem, is that we've been working on it for a long time, so it feels almost like second nature now. So that's why it's good to discuss it with you guys, if that's what has happened. I think you're right. We had said, let's just talk about these ideas and get some of our assessment items out. What do you think? Have you had a look at it? I only did a little bit on the first two parts. But what do you think as far as the form goes?
If I can just say a quick tangential comment before we get into that. I listened to last time's phone call when I was just quickly reading through the minutes. I actually thought, you know, I noticed particularly Michelle and Tisha were both talking about past research to quote their to back up their points. I actually thought we're starting to sound intelligent, at least in the conference call. Like, it's interesting to notice from a year ago. Like it's not just like, oh, we don't understand this. It's, oh, so-and-so thinks this, and so-and-so said this. And, like, I really felt like it was starting to come together. And
we're growing up, is that?
Well, no, just we're getting the experience. We're growing up in terms of research and statistics education. Yes, I would say that.
Well, actually, looking at the research base, you know, I think that's something, that's a service to a lot of people who teach statistics. They don't realize there's a research base out there. We came into this realizing that there are issues with people not understanding, but not having a good sense of what's already been done on the topic. So I think, you know, one thing we for sure want to do, do a bit more of, is in the introduction, make it clear what our goal is just for this paper. I think that would help maybe address Michelle's concern.
So, I'm sorry, just interject.
No, go. Please.
kind of back to what Michelle said about at the end, do we want to maybe pose a little bit more about making this new. I don't remember if it was Bob or Andy that advised us. I think it was Bob that joined us, maybe the last call that he was able to be here. And he said to do what we are doing, which is basically framing the things that we've learned and then talking a little bit about this assessment tool we're putting together, but at the end say these are things that we feel need to be addressed. And so I thought that I heard Bob say that we should talk a little bit in maybe a section at the end of this paper about what future work needs to be done in these areas and maybe some of the future work that we're planning on doing. Does anyone else remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good thing in any case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But just the problem.
Yeah, you've all reassured me. I feel better now that we'll explain what we're doing and then just finish with a look to the continuing research, which is, I think, what we'd agreed upon already. I was just starting to second guess, oh, is this enough? Is this something that would be of interest to be published, as one does when you're working on a paper, basically. Sorry, I'm talking to my daughter.
So, Dale, when you said to make the goals of the paper more clear in the introduction, do you mean
scope of what we're actually going to do in this paper? So
just
that
this paper more is what you're talking about instead of in general what?
Yeah, that, like just what is it that this paper will do for someone who what can they expect to find? And I think we're pretty close with that.
Yep. I just wasn't sure if you meant what we're trying to accomplish in the paper or as a research cluster.
No, I'm thinking more just in the paper. So, you know, you pick up the paper and you want to get an idea of, well, what is this about?
Yep, that's good.
Well, how should we go about this? Look through and made some notes here and there on the paper. Basically, we got a lot of good material here. Still, maybe can you? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Dale, I had reworked a couple sections. I kind of reworked a little bit part of what you had written by adding the actual questions, just because in the other sections we had put the actual questions and then trying to put your summaries after that. How did that seem to you?
Well, you know, I find this. If I hadn't already been working with our group here, and I came across this paper, I'd find it quite interesting to look at, you know, somebody thinking through what are some of the underlying concepts that we have to deal with, and how could you measure those in interesting ways? Because, frankly, I hadn't really thought much about that before we started working on this research project. You know, getting at some of these, thinking about questions that will probe particular aspects of this understanding. You know, so I think it's very interesting material, and that our audience, I think, will find that interesting to look at those items and see what, in fact, do they measure, and see how they measure some specific concepts that are relevant and interesting and that typically aren't measured. I think that's kind of the main point, is typically we do exams, we don't think in those terms at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, I was trying to go back to the section on sampling. What I was trying to do was get the standard form of, you know, here's the concept, here's some of the sub-levels of the concept, so I divided it into yours into selection of samples and interpretation of samples, which is what you had, and then add the assessing understanding, and trying to link somehow, do we want to make a conjecture about if, for example, in the first sampling item about the candy, if the students don't understand that, what problem do we think that's going to cause in understanding sampling distribution? Do we want to say something explicit there, or do we want to leave it as is?
Well, you know, I think it relates quite closely to the issue on variability, because the key point here is that samples have expected degree of variability. You know, when you say what should samples look like, well, they should have some expected variability in them. And mm-hmm. the relevance to the sampling distribution, I suppose, is the just that underlying concept that each time you draw a sample, it comes from some underlying range of possible values you could have gotten that aren't, they're not all the same, and they're not all wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's relevant in that sense.
And when we talk about, I guess the kind of concluding sense is that about half of the respondents expected samples to vary too much or to vary too little relative to what sampling theory would suggest. So do we want to add something there about the fact, you know, therefore it may be difficult for them to evaluate expected variation in a sampling distribution or something like that?
Well, I think it may come, maybe saying more along the lines that it is important to develop a properly calibrated sense of what a sampling distribution would look like, and that when you, well, understanding what a sampling distribution is, but then to know that a sampling distribution won't always give the same, you won't always get the same value, and you won't always get something terribly, you won't get things that differ a whole lot. Well, the notion is that people come into this with the pre-understanding or the pre-expectation that either all samples are going to be pretty much alike, or samples just go all over the place, they're just a sample, you know, what can you tell from a sample? And mm-hmm. part of what you learn from the sampling distribution is the sense of how consistent samples are, you know, that they're not always the same and they're not wildly different. So the sense then where we got about half of the respondents expected samples either to vary much less or to vary much more than sampling theory would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's a way of saying they come into this not having the right kind of expectations, or they have expectations which, in fact, are wrong. And it's one of the reasons we want to pay attention to the sampling distribution, one of the reasons they need to focus on this, because people's expectations aren't necessarily correct.
Then I have another question for you all on the variability section. I actually moved Tisha, the question that we talked about reading a histogram.
Mm-hmm.
You and I had actually both included it, so I moved it from your section to the section on variability and took it out of your section.
Okay.
And I also had changed slightly one of the questions that one of the original questions we had on the pilot test. We look at variability item 2. I think I'm on page 9 of our document. I had changed the one and made it into the multiple choice question. So do you want me to include here the changed version, or would you rather that I leave that we leave it with the original version? Because I tried in the paragraph underneath the new version, I tried to explain where this came from. But I want to be consistent, so I wanted to ask you what are your thoughts on that?
I would think we'd want to have the best version that we can. We improved it, maybe mentioned what it looked like before. The newer version would be better.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I'm just thinking of something different in general, how hard it is to separate variability and distributional thinking.
Yeah.
Because that first question, we're now in the paper that you sent, Michelle, so page 8, top of page 9, kind of spans both of those, at least in mine. So when I see that first histogram, assessing a student can read it, I think of that part more as just distributional thinking. And then the second histogram question, in terms of comparing those two for standard deviations, I see that one as more of a variability one, even though it involves also interpreting a histogram correctly.
I would agree with you. The reason that I moved that other one there was because in the section above where I guess it was Garfield and Benzvi, some of the ideas that they talked about and to be able to understand variability was to be able to actually read a histogram was one of the things. I thought, do I put this earlier? Do I put it later? Because it's a question. If you can't read that question, I mean, if you can't read that histogram, then there's no way you could possibly evaluate the second variability question.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know. This is something that I've never gotten over the months that we've had wrestling with this, too. I just don't have it straight in my head yet.
I don't think it'll ever get straight.
Yeah.
I think
it doesn't seem to make sense to me that we need to confound the ability to read the histogram with understanding variability. I mean, maybe we'll call that, well, I mean, it's a prerequisite to understanding variability when presented with a histogram.
Right.
I mean... It doesn't sound like it's measuring variability. Reading a histogram is not necessarily understanding variability.
Well, the implication is that if you have a test where you think you're measuring variability and, in fact, people have the problem reading the histogram, you're not actually measuring what you think you're measuring.
Right. So we might need some questions like we've talked about of ask, you know, basically finding out whether they understand the histogram. And if they don't, if they do, then we can attribute incorrect answers to incorrect understanding of variability, perhaps, in terms of a histogram.
Right.
If they don't understand how to read a histogram, can we make any sense of that question at all anyway?
If they don't understand how to read a histogram, then basically the entire rest of the assessment item, they can't possibly understand what's going on.
Well, that's not true, because we have some box plots, and we have some, the red, red, yellow, yellow marble question. And
yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right.
But anything dealing with histograms, I know that's true. Now, this is in some ways a little bit, people might consider tangential to, we should be measuring variability, but it's fundamental in measurement that if you're measuring something different from what you expect or what you think you're doing, you ought to know. So I think that's an interesting, again, addition to how we don't necessarily measure what we think we're measuring when we do standard tests. So I think another interest, something of interest to people that are teaching statistics who haven't thought about this that much. I mean, I frankly haven't thought about the fact that people might not understand what a histogram was until we saw the responses of these folks there and say, wow, not a couple people. There are a lot of people don't understand it.
Well, Tisha, what do you think if that question... We say that the following question isn't really a variability item, but we consider it to be really a prerequisite question to be able to understand the setup of the variability question.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's better? Okay.
Just a little technical thing. The first graph comes through in black and white better than the second. The one that shows the two graphs next to each other, well, especially on the third set of graphs we have, A and B. A just is a solid block on my printout. Whereas what I'm suggesting is that we might, when we print this up or in the future, might use a lighter color or something to make clearer the separation between the...
I think I used, for the new ones I made, I think I used SPSS or SysTat or something like that. And it also, it's mid-size. I need to do it in Excel or something else where I can size it better. Because relative to the size of the text box or the image box, the graphs are really small. So, you're absolutely right. I'll change that.
To tinker on. And one more just a little technical thing back in the, right before we start with the graphs, there's a paragraph. The paragraph right before assessing understanding of variability, it's on page 8 on my handout, where we talk about the things that the shape. Well, it's the third line from the end. We said, be familiar with the shape of the normal distribution and how standard deviation affects the shape. I think I maybe wouldn't put that in because, you know, if you measured something in inches or you measured just height in inches or in centimeters, the shape of those distributions would be the same, but the standard deviations would be different. You know, so in a sense, standard deviation doesn't change the shape. It affects change or something. The shape, you know, ordinarily you think of shape being measured by the closest skew and that sort of thing. But does that make sense?
So just delete that. We'll just leave it as be familiar with the shape of the normal distribution?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
there may be other things we'll add in, but I don't think we'd want to say standard deviation affecting the shape.
And I tried the section, the little part of the sentence after that, Dale, where I talk about being able to appreciate that when sampling that there will be an expected outcome but also expected variability, and then just put in parentheses addressed in previous questions, because that's basically exactly what the red-yellow question is getting at.
Right, and it touches on that issue that these things are really interconnected.
Mm-hmm. So you would agree then, is everybody to leave the newer versions of these questions explaining how they develop from the pilot answers?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, if we ever get to the point, like Bob, we started talking about it for a while, and then Bob steered us back to just the slit review, but this process of writing good questions, if we ever wanted to go down that path, then I think it's more advantageous to start from the beginning, and this is how we revised it. And, but for these purposes, I think that the best, like Dale said, the best one is what we should go with.
Okay. And then let me ask you another question on from a practical point of view. I'm going to teach another intro stat course starting in April, so April, May, June. So I would be very happy to get some more data for that because I think it doesn't hurt to get more data. Do we want to put the most recent items on the WISE website so that the students can do it there?
Could do that.
I think we should.
I was going to say, I have two sections of 49 students in a math major intro stat class that we have just finished sampling distributions, and I'd love to, you know, either use them to give us more data and or use it as an actually assessment tool in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Dale, I think we talked briefly about that, whether that's feasible using the WISE website.
Yeah, we don't currently take real identifying information from people.
But could we add something at the beginning? So if I give them an identifier, I could get a result back from you, you know, just numbers. Is that mess things up because then everyone else has to see that also?
I guess everybody would see that. We could have it, if your instructor gave you a code, enter it here, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then you give everybody a code.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, you know, how big a deal it is to put in, but I don't think it should be that hard to do. How soon would you need that?
I mean, again, we just finished sampling distributions now. They handed in a homework on it, so they should hopefully have all the background that they need to do it. So, you know, I'm happy to give it to them as early as next week.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure how quickly the person that's doing it right now is available, or, you know, how quickly we can do it, but I'll get on that right away and find out. Now, for the questions that we want to change then, so there would be this one on the multiple choice one with the histogram.
Standard deviation, and then there's I don't think we've added the original quest, the item about just reading the histogram. I don't think that's on there.
The item about what?
About interpreting histogram.
How to read a histogram?
Yeah, what do the numbers represent? So they're kind of open-ended questions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that one was on there. We said we'd add it, but I don't think we have.
Yeah, we haven't.
So do we want to try and get any changes to Dale by, say, what's today? Wednesday? By, I don't know, Friday night, Monday morning, something like that. So if you do it next week, Michael, then we can have the newer items up there.
That's great.
But it's a date so that we know that by that time we've got what we want to change.
Okay.
Friday? What is Wednesday? Yeah, I don't know if that works for you by Friday night.
So do the things that we just said right now count, or do they have to be forwarded to?
Yeah, no, I've got that. So that's
okay.
For me, it's on page 9. There are those two questions. That those are the ones, right?
Yeah, but I have to, and I'll change the graph for you though, because the form that it's in right now is no good.
Oh yeah, that makes a little better. I'm looking at the second set of graphs where we've got the A B one. The B is evenly spaced. Except for the first two. I'm not sure what we want there, if we want it this way or if we want to have them all evenly spaced.
I'm sorry, which page are you looking at?
I'm looking at some page 9 on mine, but it's the second set of graphs. It's what's the first one's got A and then B. Where
so,
they just have the same.
Okay, height. You want me to put a little space between those two as well?
I mean, 0 and 2, what do you think? I mean, I don't know. The question works the way it is, too, but somehow.
I'll put space. I can't remember why I did that. I did this a while ago. I think I might have tried to do it and I was running into trouble. So I'll do it. If that makes more sense.
I think it probably does, but I could easily be convinced not. You know,
if I'm gonna redo it anyway, I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
And it's in any case more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. Oh, right. It would be more symmetrical, so it doesn't introduce another issue.
Great. Okay. Do you want to go on to the distribution section now?
I haven't added all my stuff yet. Sorry.
No, that's all right. But I mean, just let's take a look at what there is, because I hadn't gotten to this section yet. So here, when you get to the section to show what is needed, I'm looking on page 13 here.
Okay.
What is needed for understanding sampling distribution, reading graphs. So here, we want to say something like address in the previous section.
Yeah.
Is it reading graphs or reading histograms?
Well, I think when they wrote it, it was about reading graphs, but it depends on the context of the question, I suppose.
Yeah, regarding.
I think textbooks and teachers tend to present sampling distributions with histograms.
Histogram, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I think that, I mean, could we make the claim that somebody can understand distributional thinking if they don't know how to do histograms? I don't see why they can't.
Yeah, they would understand it more from a mathematical perspective than maybe rather than the graphical.
Well, or what if they see dot plots and not histograms?
Right.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a statement saying that if sampling distributions are taught in that traditional manner with histograms, just making the point again that if a student fails to understand what a histogram is telling them, then it's hard.
Right.
Right.
Although, you know, some of the applets out there are more continuous distributions. And when you take 1,000 samples and you plot them out, it hardly looks like a histogram anymore. So I know thinking maybe you could understand it without, but it's clear understanding histograms is a good thing. Should be helpful.
And I had a question about when the third thing, probability related, what do we mean there?
Give me a second. I'm going to find my notes. I was just looking at that too. Can you tell I haven't looked at that for a while?
Well, possibly the notion of that different samples will be different, and how different are they likely to be, that your sample is probabilistic, that every sample won't be the same.
Mm-hmm. Where did I put it?
General notion, though, that it's predictable variation.
Trying to find. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry. You guys can keep talking when I find it all. Got it.
Because I think I'm just looking in here, and there's we have a lot of the research, and then the same ideas come through in a couple different ways here, in the different lists. So I'm just trying to think about how to turn these into paragraphs.
Yep. Sorry, I have some stuff on my computer and some stuff written down.
Okay, I see. I'm answering. Actually, you answered the question further down on page 14. You said, what should be measured in distributional thinking? Ability to read histograms, dot plots, et cetera, which are graphical representations of sampling distributions, which is what you were just saying, Michael. So it doesn't have to be histogram. It could be other representations. Ability to recognize shapes. Distributional shape, which brings back to the ability to recognize the normal distribution. So maybe I'll get rid of that variability and we'll just leave it here. Ability to recognize the center, and ability to compare distributions in terms of their center and variability. Okay. And then you get into the assessment item. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep, I just found my stuff. Go ahead. When I have that third bullet point with probability related, that's not the best. Apparently it made sense to me that day when I was studying, because that's what I had in my mind. But the whole thing was about this more conceptual aspect as opposed to the more mechanical aspect. So mechanical is traditional center, shape, spread, those things. The conceptual was things like empirical distributions versus theoretical distributions, populations versus samples. And I think what I meant by the probability thing was you might have a probability distribution versus a distribution of a set of data, things like that. And that's what I was wrestling with was, at the time, I think, how much of that is needed for sampling distribution. I mean, do they need to understand more than just what I do call the mechanical aspects?
I think that's really a key point, is that I see the major confusion that people have, initially at least, is they mess up what's a sample and what is a population, and then in particular, how does the sampling distribution relate to these data, and they don't get the notion of that being a purely theoretical, never observed kind of distribution.
Right.
And so they could understand completely what a histogram is and sampling and shapes and all of that, and if they don't have that, why are we doing it? Piece of knowledge, you know, what is, how is that useful? Why do we care? What is it? The theoretical aspects of it, in other words, it doesn't go very far.
Do we have an assessment item that examines that?
I don't know that we do.
Well, when I first started thinking of distributional thinking, it was more this operational piece, and then when I started to go back and write the lit review again last month, or January, whenever it was, that's when I started reading a bunch of papers again, and I think it was Fancook and Redding that talked about some of those other things, too, that are important, like population versus a sample, things like that, and when they're looking at a distribution, they need to understand.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, again, we keep talking about those, that applet. Is it the rice applet or the soaker applet? I can't remember which one. That does such a good job with that.
That's the rice one, I think.
The rice one.
The rice, I love that
one.
Yeah, you can actually manipulate the shape of the population.
Do we want to include something along those lines? So we'll have the more, you know, we have the more mechanical questions about, you know, what's your guess for the sensor, what's your guess for the, what type of shape does this follow?
Man, where was it? Okay, because I think, you know, the questions we have about sampling distributions get at that a little bit. Michael, those your questions that you did, all those different I don't know, you generated
right,
a bunch
sample,
of data, right?
The samples from a population.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, I'm sure it was Bob and Joan and Andy and their group, but there was a question, and maybe it's with their pretest for sampling distribution things, but they had a dot plot of, and I think they used X's instead of dots, not a big deal, but they had a dot plot of a population and then a dot plot of it explaining this is a picture of the distribution of a sample drawn from this population or something like that, and it was what, or maybe it was the means, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, so let me start over. They had a dot plot of the original population, and then they said we're going to take samples of size 5, whatever, calculate the mean, and we're going to plot the distribution of those means over here. So they circle an observation in the original population, or an X, whatever it is, and they say, what does that represent? And then they circle an X in the sampling distribution, and they say, what does that represent?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that kind of gets at the, you know, do they understand? But that crosses over into sampling distributions very, and maybe that's just part of how distributional thinking is related to sampling distribution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. They asked basically, do these two things mean the same thing? Are these two X's, or one is just an individual value and the other is the average of a particular sample, right? Is that what you
said? Yeah. And if a student gets that, then they're well on track to understanding the sampling distribution. I think there's a little bit more that they need to grasp, but so maybe that's not a question unique to distributional thinking by any means, but there is that element. We just throw that word distribution around like crazy, and no wonder our students are confused because...
Yeah, there are three different types of distributions.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that question. I remember that one.
I think it's pretty diagnostic if they get it wrong, that they don't have that crucial piece of information.
Right.
Yeah, something else that's related to this, I think, is confusing to a lot of students, is maybe the language issue again. When we say, you know, draw 5 samples, I think, you know, statisticians mean you draw 5 samples each of a certain size. But I think common language, if you draw 5 samples, people think you drew 5 items.
Right.
And that's very confusing. You know, because they think then, well, the sampling distribution depends on how many samples you draw, but are they thinking about how many items you draw or how many different samples you take?
Right.
And I saw an article, actually a published article, where the person was talking about that the sampling distribution depended on how many samples you drew of a given size. Well, that's really misleading because the sampling distribution is based on the infinite number of samples.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an area of confusion, too, I think.
Mm. Do you think we should add, just to go back for a second to the item that Tricia was just talking about, that seems to me like that's not a bad question to add and possibly put at the beginning of the questions on sampling distributions, in much the same way that can you read a histogram, it's sort of the beginning of the questions on variability and distribution, because that one particular question should give us a lot of insight as to, you know, are they seeing this as a population or as a sampling distribution? And that might also make the understanding of the questions after that Michael has put together more clear to the students, because they've already taken a minute to think about what's the difference between the population and the sampling distribution, so that when they get to the next question and we say, here's this graph is a distribution of a population of test scores, and each of the others might be sampling distribution. They've taken a minute to think about what's the difference between those two things. What do you think?
I like that idea, because I think if they don't have that distinction between means and single observations, a lot of what follows won't make sense. They'll be guessing.
Trying to find.
And
Michael, what do you think?
I think that would definitely be helpful for the diagnostics.
Yeah.
I mean, the question for me comes up in terms of analysis of if students show that they don't understand what we consider an important preconception, what do we do with their results? I mean, maybe that's not a question for now.
It might be quite predictive of how they do on.
I think it could be.
So, I can't find that question right now. I'll keep looking. But if a student answered that question incorrectly, I would think they don't know much about sampling distributions, right? Well, I don't know if that's fair either. That's what I would think. I don't know if that's the correct conclusion. But if they did get that correct and then failed the questions you have put together, Michael, then I've at least said, okay, I know it's not an issue with them not knowing what these graphs mean. It's clearly an issue with them not understanding what impact a sample size may have or things like that. So I think
that's what I'm thinking too. Just like the previous question tells us, is it that they don't get the variability, or that they don't know how to read the histogram? Sort of as a pre-filter to understanding the other question.
Yeah, it's harder to know what to do with them when they answer it incorrectly. But if they get it right and then mess up later, then I think we've at least ruled out something.
What would be most unusual would be if they would get that one incorrect, and then get all of Michael's questions correct.
And I think we're going to get that situation. It's going to happen.
I'm sure it will.
Some people will, yeah.
And that is noise. I mean, and we'll just have to try and factor it out.
Or it's our students memorizing certain things and not really understanding. I don't know, maybe it is telling us something that, I don't know.
No, that's right. I think we can easily be fooled by students, you know, looking in the book or whatever and pulling out things that they can apply to questions without necessarily understanding it to still get the question right.
So either way, we go with adding that?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to find it now.
I saw it the other day, too, in something. So I've got it in one of my 3 million versions of questions and documents that I have. I almost attempted, when I was starting to go back look at the literature review, to look at all the versions of questions that we had and it condensed it somewhat, but it was somewhat overwhelming, so I gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have handy where the most recent version that we've actually administered to students? Or is the WISE site the most recent?
I think I don't know.
I think the WISE is most recent. That's what I thought. I don't know.
Okay.
Of course, we've got some new items now.
Okay. Another question for you all is to the journal that I'm most familiar with is JSE, although I've read special sections from Sturge. Have any of you gone back and looked at the what kind of articles Sturge looks for, if we want to aim for that?
I have a little bit. I actually just submitted a different article to Sturge. And my sense, and if I remember what we talked about last, my sense is that the first article is not what Sturge is looking for. I think they're kind of larger studies or larger concepts about statistics education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a reading through of the literature. When we do a second article, we're actually doing analysis of hopefully a large set of data that seems more like Sturge quality in my mind. That's my read of it. I don't know if this is a question that we want to ask of our elders.
Okay, so probably aiming more towards JSE then.
Yeah, I'm sure Bob will have some good input on that too, but that might be a good default.
Now, I know the current editor of Sturge, Tom Short. You know, if we have a question, I'm happy to say, here's a brief abstract of our paper. Is this Sturge worthy?
Okay.
So that's an option as well.
Yeah, maybe start there.
So, let's see. I just opened up the Sturge website. Sturge aims to advance research-based knowledge that can help to improve the teaching, learning, and understanding of statistics or probability at all educational levels in both formal and informal contexts. Such research may examine, for example, cognitive, motivational, attitudinal, curricular, teaching-related, technology-related, organizational, or societal factors and processes that are related to the development and understanding of stochastic knowledge.
Right. They'd really like to have some data, probably, in the article.
Right.
Okay. I have another technical question for you all. Do you all have Microsoft Word 2007 on your computers?
I don't think.
Is anybody still working on 2003?
I've got 2003, I think.
I have 2007.
I have 2003, but I have a patch that allows me to read the 2007 documents.
Right, I can do that too.
Is that your main question?
It's because I'm thinking about the references. In 2007, there's a really nice feature for adding references, but as soon as you open the document in 2003, you lose that feature.
Oh, okay.
So I was just wondering if
I'll have to learn about it then.
Okay, it's fantastic. It's under the references heading, references tab. And make it really easy to add citations.
That's nice to know about.
So it just means what happened there is just if Tish and I were working on writing part and doing the citations in 2007, we just have to when you guys Michael and Dale, when you get it, just changes that you make if you add citations, just make sure you point them out because they won't be added in the dynamic sense if you add them in 2003. And then we can just switch it to 2007. That's purely technical, but just so you know.
Yep, good.
Well, what do we want to set out as our goal for the next little bit? Besides working on this paper, some more.
I think that having, if we can get the WISE site, the assessment tool revised on the WISE site, and if some of our students can take it so we can gather more data, I don't think it's a bad thing to, while we're working on the paper, be looking through those responses too, especially if we're going to have some statements about things that we might be seeing with pilot data and things that we might look to formalize in the future. Maybe looking through the data is going to help us write this thing too. Because I'll be on. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if anybody had changed, because we at one point were starting to switch from the open-ended questions somewhat to multiple choice questions. Has anybody made any of those changes to WISE? Has anybody sent anything to Dale besides what was originally up there? And do we want to send multiple choice versions, or do we want to leave it open-ended for now?
I think they're harder to look at, but I kind of feel that we're still in these early stages, that maybe open-ended is better. And I'd like more information in order to draft multiple choice questions. But a lot of that is because, I was going to admit this a second ago, I am guilty of not looking through the data that Dale kindly sends out. I get Excel files and I throw them in my correct folder in my Outlook box, and I haven't looked at them.
To look at someday soon. Yeah,
right.
That too.
And so maybe if I would take more time to do that I would see there are plenty of responses and you can start getting good multiple choice questions, but I haven't done that yet.
I actually think that having the open-ended questions is the process that we used to get to a more refined multiple choice question. And so if we're envisioning this as this first article is really talking about the prerequisite knowledge and framing the issue, then I think it would be appropriate to have the open-ended questions there.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the new research or new information or new knowledge in the second article, we can talk about how we refined open-ended questions into multiple choice in order to become a better analytic tool.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good.
You know, we could consider a paper version if we want to, if people are going to write quite a bit. I don't know if it's easier to do on the computer or those Excel files get kind of funny when people write a lot. That can work. The default here is we'll see if we can get that up on WISE real fast. So by Friday, you'll send whatever changes that you'd
mm-hmm.
recommend, items, and I'll see if we can get that up then over the weekend and have it up early following week. And then also
I think I had made some of my changes in the document itself.
Pardon?
I made a few changes, I think, to some of the questions on my section in the document itself a while back. Do you want me to resend those or what?
Well, let's see. Maybe just to make sure that I've got whatever is different. Let's see. I see your assessment questions on page 22, for example.
It's actually the question, the assessment question with Alice and Ben prior.
Oh, okay.
My page numbers are all messed up. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it's the assessment question with Alice and Ben. We originally had like four people.
Yes, that's right. We decided only two mattered, the ones on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because no one answered. In looking at the results, no one really answered the two in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. And that one we had changed from sample standard deviation to sample mean.
Right.
As
yeah.
well.
Sample mean probably differs most from the possible mean.
Yeah, I think the original version with two sample standard deviation probably differs the most from the population standard deviation. Okay. So that one, Michael, you changed it here, but so that one should be updated at...
Yeah, I think that's the only place that I made those changes.
Okay.
So, Dale, I don't know if you need me to send that to you or whether you want to just grab it from the document here.
Okay, that one I've got. Did you say there were other changes, or is that the only one in your section?
No. I mean, a while back I changed the graphs.
Yeah.
But I think you had updated it on WISE since then, because it was a while back that I did that.
Yeah, I think that we've got the same version now on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll send you, Dale, I'll send you the histogram question is on this document as well. But the variability questions, I'll update the graphs on those so they look a little better.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be good. Okay. Well, see, we're getting close to time here. We should make sure we pick a time for our next meeting. Huh?
Right. Let me also add, I mentioned I spoke with Bob and Andy before. They said they're fine with having just an acknowledgement,
okay.
Not authorship.
Okay. on the...
That was a lingering question from last time that I was supposed to ask them.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I think, what we expected, but we wanted to run it by them anyway. We said an acknowledgement to them and to the Cosmos Research Cluster or whatever.
Yeah.
We probably also want to list, you know, we got funding through Cosmos, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
But that's for...
But definitely. They're funding all of our calls.
Yes.
And our original meeting. Yeah, they've done a lot.
Right.
I just thought of a question. Maybe you are the appropriate people to ask, because I don't know how to do this. Everyone got the email about U.S. COTS, right? And that they're funding one night of our hotel stay?
Yeah.
Do you know how that works? Does anybody know?
I went ahead and reserved a room for myself under my own name right now, because I figured I'd rather do
that
now.
Too. I did that, too.
Yeah, I haven't heard any details about anything about that.
And I just feel like I'm greedy if I contact them and say, could you please explain exactly how this is going to work?
I don't think you should feel greedy. I think it's normal to ask that. Say, you know, really appreciate the offer. Can you just let me know what are the appropriate ways of handling this in terms of
reserving? I'm trying to remember, 2 years ago, didn't they also fund?
They did. Yeah,
and
how did we do it then?
I don't remember.
I know.
What did they fund 2 years ago?
I think we got one.
No, I don't think so.
You don't?
Well, I remember being in one hotel one night and then in a different one.
I don't remember any funding from last time. But
maybe not. Maybe what? I just went a day early. What was it? I don't know.
But I know there was some funding that was available.
Yeah,
I spoke with Jackie Miller about that I missed the deadline for or something. I don't know.
Well, I didn't apply for anything extra, though. So
yeah.
I wouldn't have. I don't know. I was just thinking that maybe because we had to be there a day early that they paid for our hotel that night.
I think so.
But
no. Well, anyway,
I don't remember any funding. I remember that they offered us the dinner and things.
Okay.
I think it's a completely fine question to ask them, Tisha. I don't think there's anything wrong. Given that they've offered, I think it's fine to say, and, you know, how should I implement this?
Yeah, how do you do it?
Because my institution makes me fill out all this paperwork in advance and things like that, and I just don't know how to do it. But, okay, I just wanted to...
I don't think you should feel shy at all about asking.
Okay, well, so how soon do we want to talk again?
Well, I know that I have another week of PhD class the last week of March. And then after that, so like the first or second week of April is good for me.
So the second week of April is Passover, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday. So that's no good for me.
So 8th, 9th, and 10th?
8th, 9th, and 10th are out for me.
Okay.
So, Michael, are you looking at either the 1st through the 3rd or the 6th or 7th?
Yeah, I mean the 1st or
after.
Or after. What's today? Yeah, I guess if we went...
Well, I guess are we going to have something to talk about then?
What did you say, Michelle? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that whole thing.
I'm just trying to think whether, or maybe we should go for the 3rd week. I'm trying to figure out if we're going to have anything to talk about on the 1st or 2nd, because we won't have new data yet.
Maybe, what if we scheduled something for the week of the 13th?
Yeah, that might be better.
At that point, I'll have had plenty of time to revise what Michelle has sent me and add to it, and then forward that to you all, and everybody can think about it well before.
Right, and
without that
time. More time to get...
That sounds good.
Because it'll take a little while, I think, to transcribe, get the data off of WISE. It has to be...
Yeah.
Okay, I have one more question. I'm sorry. I just thought of this. Did they want us to do a poster at U.S. COTS?
I don't recall that request.
Okay.
Are you doing something at U.S. COTS? Is there a breakout session or something like that?
Well, I think that the only group that was doing a breakout session was the one that it fit in with the theme a little bit, the group with the lexical ambiguity, because they were talking about letting go of...
Yeah, I know. I think at the 2007 U.S. COTS, they said they were going to have us do something, but... If I remember correctly, but I don't recall them putting us on the program.
No, I was thinking.
It's a good question.
I thought that they sent an email a few months back that just said, you know, we don't want everyone to do a breakout session, but we would like you to do a poster. I don't know. My email is not organized like I want it to be.
Yeah, so. We'll have to dig that out. Well, why don't we dig that out and then maybe remind ourselves through email?
Because okay. If that's the case, then that deadline is approaching soon, right? If not, I don't know.
Well, one thing, if they do want to do a poster or something, I think one thing that would be interesting to do a poster on that wouldn't take much work would be to do a poster on the development of questions. And we could even just pick like two examples of things that we've done and say, this is the concept that we're trying to test. This is the original question. These were the kind of responses we got, and this is how we modified it, just so that people can get a feel. I mean, I know I never thought about how important the questions were until we started getting going on this. And just to kind of stimulate people thinking about, wow, are the questions I'm asking really getting at what I'm asking and what I want to be getting at? So I think that could be something interesting and fairly easy based on our experience.
So I found the email, November 28th from Bob. Lexical ambiguity will be doing something as a session. We would like the other two research clusters to share their work in spotlight or poster sessions this year and perhaps in a breakout session next USCOPS.
What's the deadline for a poster proposal?
I believe it passed already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
I wonder if it's worth it for us to send an email to Bob or somebody else clarifying what the expectation is.
Because I think, you know, they put it together a few years ago, and if they're expecting, you know, I think it's a perfect opportunity to give a little publicity to the program. So it'd be good if we can do something. Now, that said, of course, I'm not going to be there, so it'd be good if you guys can do something.
Right.
But I think, you know, maybe something, just to give an idea, poster sessions aren't particularly difficult to put together.
Right. I'm thinking for some reason that Jackie Miller is the one in charge of abstracts for posters.
I think that's right.
If the deadline is passed, if it could still be, I don't know.
Well, I think we should ask the question I think we need to ask the question of the RAB about whether we're really, you know, what they want us to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I do feel some obligation because they have funded us on part of this.
Right.
Right.
Do you want me to just check the email back to Bob?
Yeah, I was just going to say, would you mind taking the lead on that, Michael?
Sure, no problem.
Letting us know.
Yeah, the deadline was last Sunday, the 1st, so.
Yeah. We're not much out of the way. They may have reserved a slot for this program, I don't know.
Oh, then it says abstracts submitted between March 1st and May 1st will be considered for selection but will not receive feedback from the session organizers.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. There's a later deadline for USCOTS? Yeah.
Yes. So it sounds like if we wanted feedback from the session organizers, then we needed to have it submitted beforehand.
But what's the deadline then?
May 1st.
May 1st?
Well, they'll be considered. It doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be accepted, I guess.
Yeah.
But certainly the sooner the better.
Yeah.
If we're going to do it. And we should at least contact them and say, you know, is there anything in particular you'd like us to do?
Right. Michael, did you say you'd be willing to contact?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll send them an email.
Thank you.
And if they say yes, do you have any ideas on what you'd like to do for a poster session? I'm not sure about one, but we might have some others here.
Well, I think some sample questions. You know, just posing that issue of how do you measure, you know, these more conceptual issues. I think a nice example of a developing start with a question based on what we find, how we revised it, might be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the presentation could actually be a little bit different than, you know, the paper that we're presenting. I like the idea of kind of the evolution of good assessment items.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what?
Okay.
Maybe we could do two posters. We can have one on the evolution of assessment items and one on, you know, what we found in the research.
Mm-hmm. I think that that would be a very good question to ask Bob, what he thought of that.
Okay.
And if they think it's great, then I am of the opinion that we can have an email conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, we'll have time to get things in before May. If we want to get it in sooner than better, than earlier. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. Are you all okay with that if we don't have another conference call to necessarily
come up with an abstract?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So when is the next conference call?
I guess we got a week. We got a day.
April 13th is Easter Monday, so after that. Any day that week is okay for me. After the 13th.
Does Wednesday work well in general? I can do it on other days, too, Tuesday or Thursday. Tuesday or Wednesday are better. Or Friday.
I mean, Wednesday at the same time, Wednesday the 15th works for me.
Okay.
Wednesday's good for me.
So the same time as today, Wednesday, April 15th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll send a note in.
So you guys, your time right now, you started at 4 p.m. Eastern, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Did you just say 3 p.m.?
4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, 1 p.m.
Okay.
California, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., Monica?
I start at 9 tonight, but
So David's having to help you, not hurt you. Yeah, okay.
This is good tonight. Actually, 10 o'clock is better for me because then my kids are already in bed.
So next time will be 10 for you?
Next time will be 10 for me, yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, we've got that. I'll send in to make sure we can do it, and I presume it'll be just the same numbers and everything. And
right.
If not, I'll let you know.
Okay. That sounds good. So, we work more on the paper. We get items to Dale by Friday. And Michael is going to contact Bob and find out expectations for U.S. cuts, and then we'll put together an abstract if need be. Or probably we'll do it anyway, even if not need be. I think it'd be a good idea to do it, even if they don't require it.
Sure. No, I agree. Yeah.
And you know what? Since I'm sending an email to Bob, I'll throw in the question about how we're supposed to deal with the hotel stuff, Tisha.
Thank you.
No problem.
Well, the last comment I have to say, you guys, first of all, I'm really going to miss seeing you all at USCAS. I'm sorry I won't be there. But also just to say that even though there's a lot of pressure to get lots of things done, I always really look forward to our conversation. You guys were a great help with the question that my colleague had, and it's been a real pleasure after all these years working here as a full statistician and not even being a statistician to have a network of colleagues that I can throw questions off to. So that was really great. So thanks a lot for all your help. Really appreciate it.
Well, I concur on how much fun it is to have people that I can talk to about these sorts of things. I appreciate
right.
it. Absolutely.
And people who care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who care and don't think it's just funny, you know, or peculiar to worry about about how people understand sampling distribution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sign off and say good night.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
good night, everyone.
We'll talk next
time. Bye.
Sounds right. Good. Take care.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.